Welcome back to Melbourne, Rock.
Thanks, Hamish. Good to be here.
All go well, the move back?
Oh, it's the worst job in the world, isn't it?
Not fun, is it?
It's nearly as bad as painting a house or something like that. It's
the only positive, you didn't do it with three young kids.
That would be absolutely horrendous. But you find, I'm only in an apartment, but you find how much junk you've got.
Do you leave a bit behind?
There's not much going back, but you've got boxes upon boxes, and you're scared of unpacking when it arrives.
Is it a good place to live, the Gold Coast?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
From a living perspective, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. For a footballer, would it be a good place to live? Because, you will have heard, like everyone else says, it's the wasteland for professional sports teams. You put one up there and it'll disappear.
Yeah.
Gold Coast Suns will never work because of that. What say you?
It's a good question. I think people look at the Gold Coast as surface, and you see all those...
Yeah.
That's
the glitz and glamour.
And nobody goes into surface. It's really just a tourist area, and everyone lives in the suburbs. So from that aspect, no. I think what's missing, and even in Sydney you do get it, having coached Sydney, you get a harder edge around in society as far as paper or...
Is that because of accountability?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So the players, the players I suppose, initially didn't know what they didn't know, but I think at the end the players worked hard and they're professional, but they didn't have that hard edge of what the media will... as you say, accountability where the supporters say something to you.
The milk bar owner when you go and buy your milk.
And it's there in your face consistently. So that's the problem with the outpost teams, if that's the right phrase.
I've always thought those climates like Brisbane and Gold Coast, even Sydney to maybe a lesser extent, but similar, in terms of your body and your physical conditioning and all that type of thing, like the winter time, it must be so much better for a player.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You're in the water every day, aren't you?
Yeah, I would. Not me personally.
No, the players, though.
Can't swim, Tasmanian. the players, they're close to the beach. They live close to the beach. I remember my first year in Sydney, so it's 96, and it's a long time ago. I mean, the lowest it got down to as a maximum was 17 during winter.
Yeah.
It was 21 most of the time. They trained in singlets up in the Gold Coast. So it's, the training when it's 20, 21 all the time.
Yeah.
And it's... And it helps your recovery. There's no doubt about that. It helps your recovery.
I'm not sure there's going to be anything that helps the recovery, though, between the Bulldogs and Jake Stringer right now. It's a big story this morning, the fact that Luke Beveridge has had what he had to say about Jake Stringer. It's beyond repair, this relationship between the two. So what do they do now, the Bulldogs, in terms of trying to get the best deal that they can possibly get for Jake Stringer?
It ends up being a game of poker, doesn't it? And the clubs who will want him will say, well, we don't have to give up his market value, let's call it market value, whatever he's worth, the first round or wherever he comes. Because he's a good age, isn't it? It's a terrific age.
Yep.
23, he's played, how many games he's played? He's
86 or so.
86, so it's close to 100 games, which is about when you're going to reach an All-Australian match winner. So you'd say, if Jake Lever's going to get two first rounds, you'd say Stringer's up there as well. But he's not going to get that. I mean, the Dogs aren't going to get that. So who compromises? Who blinks first? Do the Bulldogs take him back if they don't get what they see as fair and equitable?
Rock, there is a lot of SMS Western Bulldogs supporters are saying, how's it get to this stage? They're hard enough to find. You've plucked a gem at number 6, I think, in the draft as a 18-5 in the draft, 18-year-old kid. You got 5 years into him, he's all Australian. He's at the exact age where you're going to get your reward. How does it get to a stage then where club and player say?
And you hear stories, off field and whole run, and it's obviously got to that stage where. No, they can't pull him back, if that's the right phrase.
Yep.
I read Dennis Pagan's thing the other day on Facebook.
I did too.
Yeah, and it's about the tough love and the new age coach. But a lot of younger players come in and they feel enabled, and they want feedback, but they only want positive feedback.
Right.
They don't want negative feedback.
Is that your experience?
Not negative. Yes. Yeah.
With the young group that went up there.
And I don't call it negative feedback. I call it honest feedback.
Yeah.
It's about look at it a different way. It's about improving. Hamish, this is what you need to do to get better. You're not hard enough at it. You don't train hard enough. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I reckon they can cop that these days. Not as bluntly as we used to.
Oh, not as bluntly. No way. Right. No, you have to couch it.
Compromise you as a coach then?
No, I think it's all about outcomes. I mean, it's about getting the outcomes, about getting the player to play his best. And if that's done different ways, well, that's fine. I don't know this. I'm just surmising. Has it been tough enough on Jake early on? Has he known the rules? I don't know. Have they allowed him some extra string, extra rope to give him? And it's hard to pull back.
So as a club that is considering Jake, how do you make the decision? You hear all the innuendo. and you hear all of the potential problems, when do you start to back yourself and think, I need the talent, I can get him right, or talented, but I just don't think we'll take the risk?
And it's a great point. And there'll be players within every organisation to say, well, no, you compromise yourself because of the talent, and we've all seen players, been involved with players where the club has or coach has.
Yeah.
And we're all enamoured with talent. And it's interesting, if you go back to the draft, and there's always a dark sheep in there or a question mark about player, but you'll say, we'll back our talent.
Yeah.
Back our environment. I suppose the Hawthorn won that Dale Garlett the other year. Yeah. We'll back our environment. Didn't work.
Jack Darling slipped through to 25 because they reckon he was a rat bag.
Yeah.
He ended up being, he's a beauty of a kid.
So it's the other way. Yeah. So we're all enamoured with talent. There's no doubt people will want him, even if the stories are bad or whatever they may be. But they'll have to put some rules in place and say A, B, C and D, maybe in his contract, if this happens, we will deduct, or we've got the chance to actually delist you, whatever the case may be. But I think someone will want him. I reckon the hardest, most difficult point will be is what's a fair trade for him.
Have you had a player where you just, in the end, it was just got too hard?
I think Acker was, and I think that was very public about it. And that was player-driven in the end.
So ultimately, what is it that is the deciding factor with a player? Like Beveridge, obviously, from what we hear, is a good man management, good player manager, has good relationships with his players. At what point do you decide, okay, this bloke has to go because of what?
Affects the team, affects the group, affects the players. I think if a player doesn't get on with you or you can't seem to get through to him, I don't think that's a reason to trade a player, because I think there's other people around, you manage that, you manage the situation. But when it affects the whole group and they tend to finger point or whinge and moan, and affecting their performance, affecting their ability to train, they're getting sidetracked. Obviously, you've talked through those issues with the player concerned and say, listen, it's too hard. Now we have to
I can't stop this individual from being damaging to the club.
Yes.
Isn't that it? That's an arbitrary thing too, though, isn't it? Because we're told always that no one's equal. Like everyone says everyone's equal in the club.
That's the biggest load of bull dust of all time.
Yeah, so, it is. I mean, Luke Hodge, I'll hear KB talk about this all the time, gets this done for drink driving on the eve of the finals and they give him a $5,000 fine, but he's playing the next week.
Yeah.
The 42nd bloke would get the $5,000 fine, so you're not playing until next year.
Yeah, that's right.
So but at what stage does this, the licence, as you said, the rope you give someone...
The tipping point.
Irredeemable.
And I think the examples you were giving there is of the top-end player, but I've had examples of players who aren't top-end players but are softer in personality. So you actually compromise... maybe give them a session off, or they're allowed to go back home for a couple of days, and they're 25 on the list. Mm. But it's about what the management is to get the best out of that individual. So it's different horses. It's different courses for different horses.
The art of coaching.
Yeah, I suppose be able to manage that and be able to get them on side to know that they'll come back thinking, well, I need to work hard now, etc., etc. So, I must admit, I forgot about the question, Gary. What was that?
I was just talking about how,
different players, different rules.
There's no level of...
No, there's not. No, that's an example.
And to that point also, and I was interested in Dennis Pagan's views on this. I mean, we know that Dennis coached a while ago, but he was very, very successful as a coach. And he talked about the fact that when Leon Cameron came out onto the ground after the game, after that loss last Thursday night, I think most people thought that the Giants were really disappointing in their performance, the way that they went about that game and the loss and the rest of it. But he was sort of putting his arms around players and things like that. And to Dennis, his view was, well, no, that's not the right way to approach this. I mean, this should be tough love now because you blokes have disappointed me with your performance. Oh, I mean, that's not nearly good enough.
I heard Leon interviewed on that. That question was put to him. And he's hugely respectful of Dennis, but he said... He's not aware of what took place in the change.
That's the thing. I mean, the whole world's a perception. So us looking at something, and we read body language and say, oh, he's cuddling them. But actually what happens behind closed doors, you don't know what is said, I suppose, face to face.
He might have put his arm around Lachie Whitfield and said, you just wait until we get inside these rooms, son. I'll tell you exactly.
And the other thing, too, as a coach, you're very mindful of the perception. And the media on it, and you say, well, hang on, I've got to calm this down at the moment, and then I'll actually say it at the right time. Where if Leon walked past and actually give him a spray, well, that's headlines. Mm.
Very rare you get all pieces of the puzzle given to you to make an accurate assumption or a review of what's happened. Dave's in Melton. Morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well, thanks.
I'm looking at this Jake Stringer stuff the other way. Like, the bloke was going through real personal problems with his missus and that. He's only young. It would have been a big thing with him, for him to deal with. Why didn't the club back off and give him time off to go sort out his problems instead of trying to scrutinise every second of his life?
They may have, Dave.
It's an interesting question, though, isn't it? When, and I'm sure that, you know, you've been confronted with these types of issues before as a coach, Rocket, and, you know, when the club actually has to make an assessment about whether or not they push forward trying to help somebody with their personal issues, or they do back off and allow the player to try and sort through those things.
Yeah, I think, and I've had issues at certainly at every club, and you've handled them better as you get more experience with them. And we've had a player at the Suns this year who was an experienced player who had some real psychological, you know, he's getting depressed. So he was allowed to go away for 2 or 3 weeks, actually get your life into order as such, or get your mind right, if that's the right phrase. And he certainly appreciated that with the support at the right time.
That's
so
right.
I think it's showing the person involved that you are supportive, that you are there for them. Can we help in any way? Some players don't want to actually say what their problems are. No, they want to keep that, which is probably worse. So hopefully we get outside help.
Yep.
So the club might know, but hopefully we can get fed back that so we can help the player involved.
Dave, good call. You go into the draw for the Ego 56-volt cordless self-propelled mower, Australia's first and most awarded. I tried it out on a test basis, Tim, and that is all. And I can tell you this, it is the best mower on the market. No petrol, Rocket. I know you're back in town. You've got a garden. I can hook you up. All the power of petrol minus the petrol Ego power beyond belief.
My spies tell me you've got one of every colour, and there's about 10 colours that they come in.
You've got to try them all.
Rawls in Caulfield. Good morning, Rawl.
Hi, big fan of the show, guys. I just had a thing about Jakey Stringer. Not so long ago, not quite the same situation, but Dusty Martin, when he was, I guess, exploring his options and clubs were not so keen because of his off-field issues, and now look at him. He's an absolute gun. So do you think that potentially clubs, it's worth the gamble for clubs to take on Jake Stringer?
That's why they will.
Yeah, but I never heard a discussion from anybody within the Richmond Football Club that they thought that they weren't, you know, they didn't have a handle on Dustin.
They always wanted Dusty to stay.
I'd never ever heard that they didn't
this
have...
This is different.
No. He's just throwing Dusty up. But there are cautionary tales, as we've spoken about this morning, throughout footy where...
I think it's the wrong example, though.
Yeah, it's about... But Dusty was also exploring his options. And if he wanted to go, then it was perceived that Richmond were going to have to deal, because you're going to keep a player who didn't want to stay there.
Yeah, but you didn't have a player and a coach butting heads either.
No, that is true. That is exactly right.
Stevie J, you reckon he'll be recalled by Leon Rocket?
Yes, I do. I think him and Devin Smith will probably both come in to give him a different look up forward.
I'm going to get an article I've written, where I can't remember which paper, which suggests to me that Stevie is an absolute lock to play, according to the comments made by Leon.
Yep.
So that'll be great. Have you ever dropped one and then looked back at it and gone, geez, got that one wrong? Anyone that springs to mind?
Not to spring to mind, but no doubt it's happened. Yeah. There's no doubt it does. Well, that because we all make mistakes.
Yeah. Plenty of callers. Paul, Steve, Adam, Dave, thanks for holding on. Paul, you're first.
G'day, guys. Rocket, I was just going to ask you regarding Geelong all year. Their forward line function hasn't really worked. I was just wondering why the coach would be reluctant to swing Henderson rather than Harry all the time into the forward line, and Hawkins has been high forward all the time rather than deep.
I think probably Hawkins goes a bit higher because maybe Harry hasn't got the run if he's up, and I would have thought they don't want both of them together. I don't think it's a bad idea putting Henderson there sometimes, because you actually change the mix-up and you change a different look at the opposition, because once a player plays a while in a certain position, the opposition can actually do the homework and say this is the way he plays. So that's not a bad idea, actually.
Why are they loath sometimes to throw it around? It's easy if we're in the cheap seats, but when the game is slipping away, or it has slipped away effectively 35 points with 12 minutes to go.
Yeah.
What's the harm in throwing the whole thing upside down?
None. No.
Doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. Whether coaches think, well, we're 35 down, don't want to lose by 55. So
but does it impact too much on all the things you set in place in terms of your planning, like your rotations? Like,
the bits that hadn't worked.
No, but all the rotations, like everything changes now, doesn't it? I mean, everything's reasonably planned in terms of who goes here, who goes there, who goes into your midfield, all that type. Is it too difficult to do that, to throw everything around like that?
Depends on your mentality. I think if you've got a fluid mentality and say, well, listen, we need to change things. Because everyone, it's interesting that we are, as a coaching group now, very organised, and I think it's maybe too controlling because you still want players to really to play with, not flair is not the right word, but to play with instinct.
Yep.
But if you put at A you do this and B you do this, players then actually think, not to get the footy, I've got to do a certain thing. But I think we've got to have that fluidity around and be able to change things. Because the opposition, all teams now do that much homework, they know, well, this is what they're going to do. Now, so it becomes a game, who can execute, where if you throw different looks at it, well, actually affects their execution as well.
The last loss that the Sydney Swans have suffered has been at the hands of Hawthorn. The one before that was a Hawthorn as well. Hawthorn played them a particular way.
Yeah.
How much time and effort will Chris Scott put into looking at that and maybe implementing, which would be very much against what they do Geelong week in, week out, but to actually get this victory against Sydney on Friday night?
Yeah, having a look at Geelong, I think they've changed a little bit in certain games. Certainly Hawthorn made the ground as wide as they could. They kicked more, and now they are a very good kicking team. Mm. With Sydney, if you handle too much, especially through the middle, it just Sydney's eyes light up. Mm. You're actually drawing the pressure. That's what they live on. So you've got to try and take that pressure away. Even though they're a one-on-one side, try and get them in a one-on-one situation with passes, width, so they can't get men to support each other. And Hawthorn did it extremely well. Even the first time, I remember at the SCG on a small ground, they went around the boundary and they moved it quickly.
Uncontested marks, yeah, I think, on that night were double in favour of Hawthorn.
Yeah, and the city couldn't defend them as well as they have in the past.
No. They gave up a lot more uncontested possession and marks than they would by about 40 40 or 50 on average or something.
And Collingwood did the same
exactly
thing
early in that game, yeah.
Good to see you watched. Thanks. Geelong don't use that ground, the Geelong ground. Geelong don't use the MCG, the space, as well as Hawthorn have historically, given they play a certain way. So that's going to be a challenge for them.
Four quick calls. Thanks for holding on, Steve.
Morning, team. Rocket, just a quick question. You mentioned earlier that you were sometimes conscious of the media filming you potentially about to give a player a spray. How much does being conscious of the media impact your ability to be effective as a coach when you need to give a message at the right time?
Great call.
That was a good call. I think you learn over time, because at times I've been demonstrative at three-quarter time, maybe with my mate Brian Lake.
I never noticed that.
And then you go, oh, shivers, should you have done that? Because I've misinterpreted what is said, what isn't said. And sometimes a bit of theatre as well, because it has a bit more impact. I think most coaches now, probably quarter time, three-quarter time is the time, are probably holding back a bit. But as Gary mentioned earlier, you could say the same message in a maybe with gritted teeth, say this is what you need to do. I think you can still get the same message across, but it may be in a different way.
What about the messaging post game? Do you sit down and actually think about what you are going to be asked and then how you're going to handle those questions?
That's what the media mean?
Yeah, post game media.
I thought you meant the
post-game press conference.
I'll think about that. I'll ask the media manager what was the theme on TV or on the radio. He'll have spoken to some print guys already. He said, well, this is what they may ask. Or have you thought about this? Oh, shivers, I didn't even think of that.
Yep.
An incident in the game, whatever the case may be. So you'll try and be worded up as much as you can and obviously keep it as... It's an interesting one. You try and keep it as calm as you like, and then supporters will say, media will say, well, you should have actually been giving it to the team there because they were poor.
Yep.
And you've seen some interviews on that. So I think the main thing is to be as honest as you can, but at the time you've got to just maybe temper the emotion.
Adam's in Geelong, wants to speak about Libba. Morning, Adam.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Great, thanks.
I just wanted to ask Rocket. He's had a little bit to do with Libba. There's a lot of rumours going around about Libba being a party boy and stuff as well. Just wanted to sort of know what he was like at the start of his career.
Yeah, I only had Tom for the 1 year, so as a kid coming in for his first year, he would have played 10 or 12 games that year. He's a very intellectual Tom. He's a great reader as such, and so had some talks to me on books, etc. But as a party boy, I didn't notice anything like that in the first year as such. So whether that's gone, I think Tom mixes a lot too with his ex-schoolmates. So I don't think it's as much. Or is 100% of the time with his fellow teammates. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying whether that's the party side that he's in, I'm not too sure.
We have Bob every week. Bob Murphy gave us a different insight into Libba. Said he's a different fellow, well-read. Yeah, reads and goes and moves in different circles. So hope he gets back. Dave from Dandenong. Go, Dave. Hope he gets back to play good footy. Dave?
Hey, boys, it's a kiss first and then a clip. Oh, first of all, thank you. Great show. Love your honesty, by the way. You guys say it how it is. But the next one's a clip.
Now,
I'm going to say close to the situation without giving anything away. But the whole Stringer thing, okay, you guys know as well as I do, as well as the media guys do, exactly what's going on off the field and away. Forget the Mrs. stuff, everything else that's going on. I'm just waiting to see who's going to be the first person in the media to have the nuts to actually stand up and say, hey, this is what is happening. There's a lot of Bulldogs people out there that don't know. There's a lot of Bulldogs people out there that are looking, thinking, what actually is the case here? And there's a lot of people fluffing around it. I'm wondering who's going to have the nuts to go first. I know that Damien Barrett was having a look at it. I know Sam McClure was having a look at it. And neither of them have pushed the button either. Now, I'm wondering from you guys know what's going on too, who's going to be the first to have a go?
If you're that close, have you got the nuts to say what's going on?
Possibly, but I've been told by your producer previously that it's the wrong side.
Well,
that
you guys, Dave, let me just, I'll go first, because I'll tell you what I know to be true. Cool. And that is that his training and attention to detail in terms of rehab, his tardiness around the club, lack of professionalism, if you like, having been in the system for 4 or 5 years, that combined with, you know, his form is the consistency. Outside of that, what I can tell you, Dave, is I've only heard rumours. I'm not going to go with a rumour that I don't know to be fact.
Can I also ask you, is there any need to go with that?
Well, that would be up to the Western Bulldogs when they make that decision, don't they?
Yeah, but Dave, what's stopping you?
Well, obviously there's a discussion now with him moving to another club, and there's discussions with club to club in regards to what support mechanisms are getting in place for some of the, you know, for three relatively bad things he's up to outside of the club. And maybe I ask the question as to why is Essendon saying no? And that's to do with their culture previous to what he would be bringing to the club with him.
But see, Dave, I don't know that to be true. So why would I speculate or put out into the ether, into the radio ether, a rumour?
But do you?
You may know more than me. I don't know that to be true.
But I'm sure that I know that Damien and those guys and Sam from your network do, and I know they know that. And yeah, you know, I'm just wondering who is going to be the first to bite. I mean, even the Bulldogs coach has danced around it. I know that, you know, he obviously knows what's going on. I mean, you've got the Luke Darcy that knows a fair bit about what's going on. You've got a whole lot of guys that really know. Bob Murphy knows exactly what's happening. And it was asked about at point blank. And
I think some things are sensitive, Dave. And, you know, if you're alluding to some things and you think they're sensitive, some things don't need to be said, I think probably is the answer. It's not helpful for Jake anyway.
Thanks for your call, Dave. Mark's in Safety Beach. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you? Just wanted to touch base on the speculation about the Jackie Stringer thing and the culture around the Bulldogs. Is it surprising that during the press conference to Matty Boyd that he didn't thank Luke Beveridge at all, but he made significant realisation to Rocket about the way he helped him with his career, and then at the end of the press conference that there was no handshake between Matty Boyd or anything like that?
I don't know whether you can mention that, Rocky. I mean, not about the specifics. Your relationship with Matthew Boyd obviously was strong. What do you? And then I'll go to Tim.
I haven't. Obviously, I texted Matthew about his retirement and his 300th. I spoke to him at the end of his career and said, "Well done." Don't know anything specific with Luke. I had heard a rumour, and this has nothing to do with Matthew, that he wasn't going to be played the last game, but was maybe overruled from up above to say, listen, he needs to play. So whether there is something there, I'm not too sure.
Tim, have you heard anything?
No. That's the first I've heard of that he actually didn't shake his hand or he didn't make any acknowledgement of him either.
And Rocket, good morning. You're going to be a big part of this Meet the Press, all the hard questions being asked, but I'm going to start.
Or you can ask one yourself, Rocket.
Thanks, join
the journalists.
You might be sitting.
I'll sit on the fence, mate.
No, you might be sitting on something you've wanted to get off your chest for a long time that you want to direct at Gary.
Tim, I'm going to start with you. Have the Dogs played their cards too early with Jake Stringer?
I was surprised with what they had to say, because obviously this is going to be a negotiation. He's not going to play the Bulldogs next year, so they've got to get the best possible deal they can.
Mm. Gary?
Yes, Sam?
Josh Kelly the Giants' best player?
No, not from my perspective, but he'd be damn close.
Yeah. Interesting that we've got a man being hunted for, you know, $10 million 9-year deal.
And he might be the best, easily the best. Toby Green for me at the minute. But
Rocket, who do you like best at the Giants?
I love Dylan Shiel.
Yeah.
I think he's a terrific player.
Mm. Rocket, how long is too long for a deal?
For a player or coach?
Either.
It's the Alistair Lynch was 10 years. So I'm sitting like, I would think 5.
Mm. The landscape has changed, though, hasn't it?
It has. It has. And you've got to go the other. I mean, Buddy had that one, but he was has a real risky one at 25, 26 years of age.
Will the Suns be able to keep Tom Lynch? Because already there's discussion about Tom Lynch and where he might be next season.
Tom's...
Not next season, the season after.
Yeah, Tom's a very loyal guy. Like, he's a terrific person, obviously very... I don't think money will be an issue.
Okay.
I think wherever he goes, whether if he stays or if he goes somewhere else, he's going to be handsomely paid. Mm. So money will be a factor, but I don't think it'll be the overriding factor, because I think the money won't be that much different maybe from... I think it'll be more about probably if he sees team success.
Yep.
And that can be a driver. But he is a loyal guy, so he's probably a good chance to stay.
Rocket, speaking of players and coaches and contracts, are you surprised that both Queensland clubs making contact with Luke Hodge about a playing coaching contract?
Well, he won't go, will he? He's going to go in the media, I've heard, Channel 7. Is that right? Is that right, Tim?
I think Channel 7 would like him, yes.
hasn't been agreed to yet, though. And he got close contacts, obviously, with Mark Evans and Chris Fagan.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Look, I think the idea's got some real merit, especially had some experience and had some leadership. He'd have to be passionate that he wants to coach at some stage. That'd be the main thing. And it'd probably take a fair bit of money. That's the second thing. On the football side too, he's been a great superstar champion. I don't know whether his legs have got another year in him, to be honest, as a player. But I think it's value-added, so it's got some merit in it.
Rocket, would you play Stevie J this week?
Yes.
Why?
Well, one, the Cameron's out. I think they need to change the mix-up. So it's probably the wrong tool that goes. I think two tools is better. He's different. He can kick goals. I know he's not the player he was with the legs, etc. And everyone says he doesn't chase and put pressure on, but he still gives an extra dynamic. And if Devin Smith comes in, there's got a bit of speed as well. So I'd certainly change the mix-up.
The other point in this is that this time last week, when I was asked about Stevie, I said I wouldn't play him.
Mm.
In a week, they have shown that, and I call them immature in their first final, the Giants. They need Stevie J to go and demonstrate sort of intensity and intent and death, you know, all that bit of mongrel, bit of hardness. They had none of that.
He did it the year before.
He was the leader the year before.
The other thing I think that they should be looking at doing is playing Delidio across half back.
Yes, I agree.
And playing Wilson or Williams in their forward line. I reckon both those players are capable of not only kicking goals and putting on pressure, but setting goals up as well.
For sure.
And I know Saints don't like to break their defensive units down and that type of thing, but now might be the time to do it.
Well, I think GWS's defensive unit has been struggling. I think they play a different game now. I don't think they take the game on as much. I think one of the exciting things about GWS was, they're going to score, but they're going to score heavily, a bit like Adelaide at the moment, but they don't do that. They play around the boundary. They were a bit slow with their ball use. They had a chance to break it open. They didn't. I think it's about protecting their back six. I think they're worried about their back six. So I'd actually put Delidio there, like you said, and give them a bit more drive, and whether it's Wilson, Williams, even on a wing, and play Whitfield in the middle, or do something different, change the mix up and actually throw them around.
Best way forward this week is to run them off, them being the Eagles, off their leg. Critters and Mitchell and their midfield group's not quick, and they'll be weary. Run them ragged.
Rocket, we'll give you a small reprieve. Gaz, does the team that finished 16th on the ladder deserve to open the season next year against Richmond?
Oh, Samuel, good question. I would say no. On the surface, you were talking about Carlton being the season opener. They've had that right for the last how many years?
Five?
I don't think they've earned the right to have it for 5 years, given where they are on the ladder. Having said that, they are now in a position where they probably could put their hand up and make a genuine
I think it'd be more than five. I think it was even before Damien Harbour got there. I reckon it'd be nearly eight.
Yeah, I reckon there was a small break when they ended up opening the season when it was GWS and Sydney 1 year. Anyway.
If they did, by the way, I wouldn't be upset because Carlton next year with in round one, they have Charlie Curnow flying, all those young Wiedering, but all those young kids out and have another summer under their belt. They're better placed this year, next year than they have previously.
Rocket, you talked in the last segment a little bit about the need to give players open and honest feedback. Did you ever give open and honest feedback to Plugger?
Yeah, I did, and I feared for my life.
What was it around?
What did you say to him?
It's a bit of a... Can I tell a long story? Have we got time?
After the break.
Very quickly before we go to the break, who in this room could you think you could give one of your honest and open sprays to, and who wouldn't perhaps be able to receive it that well?
Sam McLaughlin.
You're setting me up there.
Tell us about the day that you had to eyeball Plugger.
Well, I had two with Tony. One was the start of 1997, which I won't go through. It was a long story and feared for my life. And then it was the day he broke the record.
At the SCG.
SCG playing Collingwood. And Tony kicked, was it four in the first quarter to break it? And so at quarter time was six up, half time were even. So I've gone in, given him a bit of a bake. And they've gone to Tony, sitting at the front, sitting in the same spot he always is. And what about you? And I said, you bloody kicked your goals, you've broken your record, you've put the bloody cue in the rack now, have you gone home? He had steam, his eyes are rolling, and he had steam coming up, so I backed away. Gone out, he's finished with 10. So anyway, we went for a function that Tony had at King's Cross that night for a record, and Jimmy Barnes has turned up, and Paul Kelly had to buy a gift for him. So he comes out with this long box, and he said, here's the bloke that's got everything under it. It's a pool cue. Put the cue in the rack. So Tony took it in good.
So you look back, was it the perfect bake or you got lucky?
It had its effect.
It's the art of coaching, Rocket. Don't worry now. You nailed it. You absolutely read it beautifully. You knew how far to push him without getting knocked out. And you got another six goals.
Have you got time for your pizza delivery tips as well, Rocket?
Yes, mate. What's the tips? What, the footy tips? What?
Yeah. Rocket?
No, it's the last Meet the Press question. Rocket, just a left field one. What's a fair tip for two large pizzas and a garlic bread delivery?
Oh, right. Okay. It's always 10%, isn't it? So you give them $5 to $10.
We had an SMS that says he delivered your pizza for 5 years. Never received a tip, but loving hearing you on radio this morning.
I never got pizza delivered, so that guy's lying. That guy's Pinocchio. His nose is growing.
You're going to find out what it's like to get a rocket spray in
it. It was an SMS.
I don't care. You're going to cop one.
It's an SMS.
Get your facts right, Sam.
That's right. There'll be a domino effect.
Great to have you in, Rocket.
Thanks, guys.
Good to have you in next week.